Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com. This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
Very nearly 22:06. It is time for the Israel report. Today we are going to be chatting to Yigal Marcus, principal partner, Tel Aviv for Alliance Bernstein. That's the name of the company. And we're going to launch into what is making the headlines in Israel this afternoon. Yigal, thanks for chatting to me on Chai FM.
Always. Thank you for having me.
So you want to start with Hezbollah and Iran? A short update?
Yeah. I mean, we are approaching a moment when, you know, something's got to give. Israel has clear and convincing evidence that Hezbollah has been rearming with the help of Iran. And we are at a point of where either Lebanon's going to have to disarm them or Israel's going to have to go in and really relaunch a major offensive up north to eradicate what is left of Hezbollah. We're not going to allow them to continue accumulating the missiles like they did prior to the war that we just concluded. And so we are approaching a moment of reality when you know the U.S. just came out and warned Lebanon that if they don't do the job, Israel will do the job, and it will not be pretty. And Israel will get the full back in support of the U.S. So I think that that's the one major thing that we're looking at. I think that a potential offensive, if it has to happen, is potentially imminent, and Israel certainly has been preparing for it, and America has been strongly
supportive,
supportive, but also threatening that if Lebanon doesn't finally deal with this problem, Israel will.
Yigal, I find this very interesting because a couple of months ago. It appeared as if the situation was somewhat different. There seemed to be massive backing amongst the Lebanese government, whatever that may be, from President Aoun himself, in order to ensure that Hezbollah would in fact disarm. The American envoy was making very loud noises that this needs to happen, and they were coming out with public statements that not only is this desirable, but that this must happen. Why has the process stopped? Is the government just so unbelievably weak that they're unable to give effect to the decision? Or what is the story? Why were we there? Yeah.
Well, I think there's two things. I think the government is weak. But I think more importantly is that it's when you have to dispatch your army of primarily Muslims against other Muslims. Now, you may not like what they stand for, and they may come from a different sect altogether, but Muslims don't like killing Muslims in general, and especially in their country. And so I think when it comes, at the end of the day, when it comes to the decision of are we going to attack and kill these people and destroy what they're trying to accomplish, there's pause. Wait a minute, do we really want to do that? And that's what I think is causing this pause. The Lebanese know very well what Israel's capabilities are, and the question that they're going to have to figure out is, are we going to let Israel do what they're going to do? Whether they let Israel or not, Israel's going to do what they're going to do, or are they going to take the offensive on their own, and deal with it?
I do think
that they're weak. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
What kind of support does Hezbollah have within the greater Lebanese society?
Very little, very little. Hezbollah has brought a lot of destruction onto Lebanon. Lebanon is a broken nation, and the population there generally is not supportive of Hezbollah at all, especially after this war. And so they want a future without Hezbollah. Mm. And I think everyone except for Iran wants a future without Hezbollah. And so that's what we're trying to get to, but we're trying to get to it in a way that will not bring, hell down on a big chunk of Lebanon through Israeli tactics for dealing with this problem. So I hopefully they'll come to their senses and deal with it themselves. If not, we could have a reignition of hostilities up there, which wouldn't be good for anybody.
It's very interesting because if anyone is watching Israeli news, you almost see on a daily basis Israel is, in inverted commas, mowing the grass in Lebanon. They haven't had any comeback. There's been no criticism. It just seems to be what they do. But they're going to have to go in a far more significant. Would you foresee a ground operation in order to enforce
I
the
think,
disarming?
yeah, unfortunately, I think we're going to have to see a ground operation, because I think Israel is not, if they're going to deal with the problem, it's going to be a permanent problem, and it's going to be a permanent solution. So I do think that it would require boots on the ground, but only after Israel has, to use your term, mowed the lawn and really hit them hard from the air. But I do think, unfortunately, I do think that for operations like this, to find those tunnels, to find where they've hidden what is estimated to be now between 20,000 and 30,000 of these Iranian-built and funded and delivered rockets, Israel would have to probably send in ground soldiers.
And just tell me, to what extent are Israelis feeling comfortable about going back to their homes in the north? Is it business as usual in the north or still not?
Remember that it's been quiet for quite a long time up north, so they've all returned. Not all. There are sections like in Metula where only about 50% of the people have returned, but a very big percentage in the greater north have returned to their homes. Israelis are very resilient. Even during the war, when they were told to leave their homes and were forced to leave their homes, they left their homes. But for those who are like in Nahariya and other areas up north, they are tough. Israelis are very tough. They stayed there. They, listened to directives in terms of getting to bomb shelters, but they did not withdraw and move to other parts of the country. And so, for those who stayed before, they're, I think, comfortable staying now. For those who moved around before, I think the reality is very different now. And even if there is a conflagration up there, it's not clear that Hezbollah still has the power to really attack like they did earlier on, last year. So, we'll see how it unfolds. But things are different, but they're different because Israel made them different, and Israel is going to prevent them
Sure,
from going back to
sure.
what it was before.
Let's move on to the second issue you wanted to discuss with us this afternoon. I think this is absolutely fascinating. It's the issue of Tucker Carlson and right-wing anti-Semitism in the U.S. I see Barry Weiss of the Free Press has come out with an article today. I haven't managed to read it yet, talking about the fight for the soul of MAGA. I presume the Huckabee wing versus the Carlson wing. What is going on there, and why the traction? Why is anti-Semitism finding such fertile ground in the right?
So it's a very, I'm not sure it's a strange phenomenon, but it is strange now. Tucker Carlson, he's lost his mind, I think. I mean, he used to be a friend. He used to be a principled conservative, and he has totally gone off the rail ever since he was terminated by Fox News. I think that part of it is, look, you have a guy who used to have the greatest platform on television, the primetime show and the most watched news network, who's now sort of an independent, and he has to do what he has to do to generate clicks and to generate viewers. So part of it is business, and the fortune that he's making off of this, and part of it is just to be different than everybody else. Unfortunately, this past weekend, the Republican Jewish Coalition had their annual conference in Las Vegas, and a big chunk of the conference was devoted to addressing not left-wing anti-Semitism, which has been around for a very long time and virulent and violent over the last few years, but right-wing anti-Semitism, and really differentiating the Republican Party and Trump's Republican MAGA Party to the ilk, like Tucker Carlson,
Candace
Ken Roberts,
Owens, where did we
Candace
lose
Owens,
them? Where did we lose
Kevin.
them? These were all pro-Israel at one point,
Yeah,
pro-Jewish, pro-Israel.
I
What
it's
happened?
it's I it's really hard to understand. Again, Candace Owens also I wish I could point to something. You know, the war, it happened during the war, primarily during the war. And I think that they are more from the isolationist part of the party. So there was obviously a fear of them pulling America into a greater war, which of course never happened. And for all the predictions that Tucker Carlson had about, you know, if we bomb Iran, it's going to be World War III. That never happened. We ended that threat, you know, pretty quickly. Mm. So part of it was the war, but it kind of just evolved after that into this, you know, like they almost lost their guardrails and started, you know, bringing up, you know, anti-Semitic tropes. I mean, when Tucker Carlson can come out and suggest that Israel was behind the Charlie Kirk assassination, I mean, that is just an insane thing to say with, of course, no evidence. But that's, you know, that's the, you know, he's doing a great job in being a promoter of the protocols of the Elders of Zion. The Jews are behind everything. The Zionists are behind everything that bad that happens in the world. It's a sickness. And you know, he's profiting off of it. You know, he's got his viewers and clicks, and that's working for them. And same thing with Candace. And you know, the Heritage Foundation came out and strongly supported Tucker Carlson, which to me was a total shock, because you know, at the end of the day, this is pure anti-Semitism, and they're supporting it. And they're enabling it. I shouldn't say support it, but they're enabling it.
I find it incredibly frightening times. You know, I'm not saying a guy like Joe Rogan is nearly anywhere far down that road, but he appears to be starting the vehicle to go down that road. And I just think these hugely influential people with massive amounts of followers, it's not going to take much for the pendulum to swing.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, when Tucker Carlson can sit down with people like Nick Fuentes, who's a white supremacist Nazi, and in the conversation he says, you know, when I come to power, this is Nick talking, when I come to power, I'm going to execute all the perfidious Jews.
Oh my goodness!
And Tucker Carlson sat there and didn't say a word. That says the whole story.
Scary times. Scary times.
Yeah.
Equally scary is the prospect of a Mamdani victory in the New York mayoral elections. It blows me away that in the biggest Jewish city in the world, this is the man who could lead the city. I mean, how's this being viewed in Israel? Do you think there would be an effect on Israel?
Well, first of all, do I think it'll have an effect? Yes. You know, New York City is the financial capital of the world. And there are things that you know, like he threatened to arrest Bibi Netanyahu if he set foot in New York City, and so it affects Jews. You know, it's also the largest Jewish community outside of Israel, so it affects Jews, and when Jews are affected, it affects Israel. And hopefully the response is Aliyah. You know, we'll see if that happens. But it is extraordinarily strange and very concerning that polls show somewhere between 30% and 40% of New York Jews are going to vote for Mamdani. That is just a betrayal of everything that we stand for. If it's the betrayal of Israel, it's a betrayal of the Jewish people. And it is so shocking that they would allow to do this. I just read this morning that Satmar, the Satmar Rebbe there in Brooklyn, came out and endorsed Mamdani. I got to tell you, I wouldn't want to be, you know, next to him. He's going to have a lot to answer for. And it is shocking how quickly they can betray their own people and the only Jewish state that they could really call home. So it's shocking that they would do that. And yeah, I am extraordinarily concerned about how that plays out. And frankly, I'm very, very upset at Curtis Sliwa, who is the Republican candidate, who's way behind the polls. He should have pulled out. It is incredibly selfish what he's doing. Had he pulled out, I think Mario Cuomo wins. Without pulling out, we are hoping that people, when they actually come in and push the button to vote, will put, you know, city over an individual person. And if they do that, then Cuomo should win. But I doubt he will. I think the polls show that Mamdani wins. And you know, I'm looking at a destruction of a great city.
There's a weird tiny little piece of me that says, okay, go ahead and win. Go and take this city. Let's see how this works for you. Your Islamist coalition, together with transgendered and gay rights, let's see how well this bizarre coalition works for you in practice. You try hold it together.
So So, you know, a little piece of me also agrees with you. You know, especially as we approach the 2028 elections, let's use New York City as the poster child of what happens when you let a socialist come to power. And I agree with that, except that we've got a lot of Jews who are living there, and we have people whose businesses are there, and we have people who will have to walk the streets and travel the subways. And so when lives are in danger, as much as I'd love to make this a political kind of statement as we begin the 2028 presidential election, I'm going to put the lives of my fellow Jews even above that, and hope that, you know, that he doesn't win, because I do think it'll become extraordinarily dangerous for Jews to walk the streets. Funding will be pulled. You know, when there's a shooting, he wants to dispatch mental health workers instead of police. You're going to see mass resignations in police. You're going to see businesses leave. If businesses and rich people leave New York City, the tax base, the revenues that they generate go down. Then you've got deficits, and then you've got a long-term structural problem that literally could destroy and undermine the city for generations. So we're playing with fire here. The world has to see, the people of New York City have to see that and put
And wake
city
up.
before their own philosophies and ideologies.
Yigal Marcus, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. Thanks for being with us on the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
You know SundryMed, the friendly medical supply company at Genesis Shopping Center? This month, we're slashing prices on 2-ply toilet paper. Mention Chai FM and get 2 packs of 18 rolls for just 185 Rand. That's 36 rolls for only 185 Rand. Plus, bring in your first aid kit and we'll help you restock with all the essentials for any emergency. See you at SundryMed.